This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Do you ever wonder why it seems that good things happen to bad people, and those of us who try to remain faithful to God experience turmoil? Well, if you've been wondering about this, join us today as we learn about a man who asked the same thing and found his answers in a very unusual place.
Sometimes in our lives, it's hard to keep it together. So I invite you to stay with us and learn how God can help you keep it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts and minds to you this day and ask you to once again come and feed our souls with your sacred word. We are hungry for your truth. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Dear friends, have you ever felt like everything's falling apart and you're having a hard time keeping it together? I think all of us have moments like that in our lives. Some days are just worse than others, and it's sometimes hard to keep it together. Someone in my congregation recently sent me a little funny thing off the internet. You know you're having a bad day when, maybe you've heard this, you know you're having a bad day when the worst player on the golf course asks you to let him play through. You know you're having a bad day when you realize that you just sprayed spot remover under your arms instead of deodorant. You know you're having a bad day when you wake up and your dentures are stuck together. You know you're having a bad day when the bird singing outside your window is a vulture. You know you're having a bad day when your doctor tells you that you are allergic to chocolate chip cookies. Some days are bad, and some days stretch into many days, and they're not so funny. We have seasons that we go through sometimes where life throws us some pretty rough stuff. Health issues. A friend of mine recently visited his doctor, was informed that he had a tumor in his brain. He's entering a dry season. Another family in my congregation has shared with me the heartaches of trying to raise a troubled teenager. And they see no end in sight. And they're really going through it. And it's hard to keep it together. Some kids I know are experiencing negative experiences at school. They're being left out, or they're being bullied, and they're feeling like this is going to be a long year in this class. Others I know have faced work issues, which the work is just totally overwhelming and they can't keep up. And it just seems that the harder they work, the more the pile in front of them gets bigger. And it gets depressing, like they're not making any progress. Or I think of my friend who went in to work and was called into the manager's office and was told to pack his box up. He was done right on the spot. Those kinds of things can bring about a real crisis in one's life. In fact, if you're a person of faith, it can bring on a real faith crisis, because it seems so unfair if you're one of God's people. Feel that you've been a faithful follower of the Lord, and then to have these things cave in on you, it just doesn't feel right. You sometimes feel yourself a little wobbly in your faith. Well, let me tell you about a guy that can identify with this sort of experience out of the Bible. His name was Asaph, and he lived many, many years before the time of Christ. And he actually wrote a song about his faith crisis when life wasn't turning out right for him. It's Psalm 73, and it reads more like a testimony or a song story, like a good old country western song, perhaps. But he begins his song with verse 1 saying, "Truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart." Maybe he had learned that along the way as a child. Perhaps he had bought into that. He knew Psalm 1 about the promise that those who choose to follow God's way will be like trees bearing fruit by streams of water. He seems to be saying it now as a declaration, as something that he has learned and is hanging on to. But then he moves us into the crisis. Verse 2. "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." He's talking about his faith walk. His faith walk was kind of crumbling beneath his feet, and he was about to fall away from his faith in God, it sounds like. What was causing this? Verse 3. For I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pain. Their bodies are sound and sleek. They're not in trouble as others are. They're not plagued like other people. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes swell out with fatness. That's quite a picture. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily, they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against heaven itself, and their tongues range over the earth. He's bothered to see that good things are happening to bad people. Bad people seem to be getting all the breaks. They're living to make a quick buck. They're taking advantage of others. They're oppressing others. They're even thumbing their noses into the heavens at God. And yet they seem to be doing all right. And this bothers Asaph. He said, not only does it bother me to see these bad people who are thumbing their nose in the face of God and doing well for themselves, he goes on to say, there are other people that are buying in, people that I know. Verse 10, therefore the people turn and praise them and find no fault in them. It's like they're celebrities. Have you ever seen a celebrity who's living an immoral life and on a talk show or something and makes a comment and that's really off the charts, and then the crowd claps and applauds as if they've said something brilliant? Now, that's what's happening here with Asaph. And they say, this audience, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? In other words, God doesn't seem to be paying attention, so why not? Such are the wicked, he sums it up, always at ease, and they increase in riches. Now, he said, to make it even worse, there's something that was going on in my life. Verse 13, all in vain, I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocent. For all day long, I have been plagued and am punished every morning. What's he talking about there? He's sick. He has some sort of a chronic illness that won't go away. Every morning he wakes up and he feels absolutely miserable. So here he is, he's saying, here I am, one of God's people, one of the faithful ones, and here I am sick and I can't shake it, and I'm looking at all these people that are wicked and thumbing their nose in the face of God, and they're doing great. That doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. Life is not making sense to him. And he says, not only am I feeling sick, but I'm feeling alone. I can't tell anyone about what's going on in this crisis in my life. He says in verse 15, if I had said I will talk on in this way, I would have been untrue to the circle of your children. If I'd have shared this with other brothers and sisters in Christ, if I'd have shared this with my kids that I'm having this faith crisis, I might hurt them spiritually. So I kept it to myself. And it's so alone to feel like this. And then he said, so when I thought how to understand this on my own, it seemed to me a wearisome task. I couldn't make heads or tails out of it, so I just decided to give up. And there you have it. A guy who's having a terrible time keeping it together. He's having a faith crisis because he's sick. And people that are doing worse things with their lives are doing well. And it doesn't make sense. And other people are starting to buy in. And it looks like evil is winning over good. But notice in verse 2 as we read, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. In other words, he didn't stumble and he didn't slip. Why didn't it all fall apart on him? I mean, here we have the song in front of us. Obviously, he kept it together. So what's the secret? How did it happen? Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. He went to church. He went to a worship service. And there he got the big picture, as he said, "Then I perceived their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. They're like a dream. When one awakes, on awaking you despise their phantoms." I got a changed perspective, he said, when I came to worship. I was overwhelmed by the greatness and the glory and the majesty of God. I got the big picture in my face again, that God wins, not evil, and I belong to him, and he has the last word over me. He rediscovered something that he had known all along but had forgotten. He had rediscovered how big his God really is. Jack Hayford is a worship leader out on the West Coast that I have always admired greatly. And he wrote in one of his books about worship, "God calls us to worship, and there he wants to display his might because he knows we will face tasks in which we need to act mightily. He wants to supplant our unholiness with his holiness, our unwholeness with his wholeness. He is not disposed to frighten us to death for entering into his presence, but to awe us to life because we have been in his presence. The ground of all being wants us to be able to stand our ground in life's trials, to do so in the face of sorrow, temptation, illness, and disappointments requires frequent visits to the holy place." He got reminded of his great God. And so then he turns to God in confession. "God, when my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was stupid and ignorant. I was like a brute beast toward you." How's that for a confession? "God, I'm sorry, I was stupid when I stopped trusting you." But then, I love this next line, verse 23, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Indeed, those who are far from you will perish. You put an end to those who are false to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge to tell of all your works. Nevertheless, you are with me, and you hold my right hand." Asaph got a nevertheless in his worship experience. Life wasn't adding up, true, but nevertheless, God is with me. God is good to me. God holds my right hand. And we see Asaph revived, confident, hopeful, as he moved on to face life's twists and turns. My dear brothers and sisters, it is so good that you are here today with us in this worship service, and that you continue to come and listen in and even sing along perhaps with the songs that we have on there for you. Because bad times, whether you're a Christian or not, will come right along with the good. And according to Asaph's testimony, this is the location to be. Worship. Worship. Some people run from worship when life is falling apart. That's a disastrous thing to do. You meant to run to it, to the presence of God. It's here in worship that we meet up with God. James says in his letter, "Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you." It's in worship that we rediscover who we are and whose we are and how nothing can snatch us from his hand. It's in our worship time that we see beyond the tragic and the terrible and the sorrow and the sadness to a God who loves us, who gave his son for us at a cross. It's here we get the big picture of a great grand, majestic God. Staying away is harmful stuff. I've learned that from my own experience. Isn't it interesting that Luke tells us in his gospel that Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom, his habit. Worship was a habit for Jesus. He needed it to be in the presence of his Father. In the book of Hebrews, that writer was writing to folks who were having a hard time keeping it together. He says, don't neglect the habit of getting together. You need to do that to encourage, for encouragement. Go to worship. It's good that you're here to get your nevertheless today. Just like Asaph did. A nevertheless to hang on to. Yes, life is a mystery. Nevertheless, God is with me and holds my right hand. Can you say that with me? God is with me and holds my right hand. Yes, I'm hurting. Nevertheless, God is with me and he holds my right hand. Yes, I'm afraid. Nevertheless, God is with me and he holds my right hand. Yes, I'm disappointed and I'm discouraged by situations in my life, but nevertheless, God is with you and he holds your right hand. And yes, you may be dying. Nevertheless, God is with you and he holds your right hand. As Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our purpose at Christian Crusaders is to be a ministry that builds the person up. And worship is a key component. This is a worship service to help you keep it together. And not only keep it together, but grow stronger in your walk with the Lord. People of God, you are not alone. As you go on today after this service, I invite you to hang on to your nevertheless. Keep on worshiping. We'll see you again next week at worship. God bless. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
Join me in prayer, would you? Father, it has been good for us to be with you today in worship. We thank you for the privilege of drawing near to you during this time. We thank you for your encouragement and an assurance that we are not alone, that you hold our right hand. Lord, help us to keep that promise in mind throughout this next week, no matter what the situation may be. Thanks again for your goodness and your faithfulness. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you in your faith walk as you face trials of all kinds. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. These donations enable Christian Crusaders to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to more than 1 million persons each week. Your gifts and your prayers for this program are deeply appreciated. We invite you to visit our website, where you can find both printed and audio copies of today's program, as well as past Christian Crusaders programs. Our internet address is christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you joined us for worship this day, and we pray that you can join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.